What's up, everybody? You know what it is, another episode of MasterChef. We have a former winner that gets married, ducks all around, and we got terrible mashed potatoes. Let's go. Let's get it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Everybody understands.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, come on, everybody. Come on. No, shake it out.
Shake it out.
Everybody give me crap for picking this song because we all thought it was...
No, you did.
For a second. Thought this was the song that says, I can mash potatoes. Right. Anyway.
We should ask the people in the comments, work it out. So baby. What song is that? We were trying to... Well, Ashley was.
Yes.
We care less. But she was thought it was important to do that because of the whole mashed potato things in the interview, or in the episode, excuse me, and the twist that happened at the end. So if you know what that song is, let us know in the comments, and we won't play it next week, but we just want to know. So, boom. There it is. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Lim Gonzalez, short for Lemuel, if you would like to know.
And
I'm here with my peoples. I'm here with my peoples, y'all. We got Senor Frank Moran.
Oh, my word.
A.K.A. Francisco.
Hi, Miles.
He's in the house tonight. And a resident a DJ slash jukebox stirrer-upper.
Sorry because, for all the music mishaps.
Yeah, exactly. Ashley Chaney's in the house.
That's me. Hi. Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're talking all things... MasterChef, of course, because that's what this show is about.
Really? And,
right.
Here we are.
If you didn't realize, I'm a little delirious today. I'm just letting everybody know. So if you think something might be awry with Lim today, that's what it is. but we're going to get through it. We have a top 18 that's competing,
Exclusive.
Talk it down, right?
Talk it all down. We have top 18 that's competing, and we have everything is set in what's, and I help me out with this, because I know he said where it was, but I felt like it was a Malibu winery area.
100% was Malibu Wines, and they tried to call it like Saddle Creek Ranch
or something like that. So
there is in Malibu, No, that's not what it is. In Malibu, there's like two different ranch area places. It seems to be the big deal to like go on a safari and drink wine, which I wouldn't have normally put those two together. But
there's like a safari?
Yeah,
like,
you know the Malibu wines? Yeah, there's like the safari. You ride in an open-top Jeep. It's really pretty cheesy.
They have like live animals.
You saw
like,
what they...
Like dogs and cats?
No. Like you saw the giraffe. They have like...
They have a busted old-ass giraffe and a couple of zebras and a playpen.
It's like a busted zoo, right? It's like, I don't know, the Van Nuys Zoo or something like that. But it's like supposed to be this safari-esque type situation. And you drink wine and you go, I have a friend that did it. And she did it with her company. And she's had a blast.
I was going to say, I shouldn't call it busted because one, I've never actually done it.
Right.
And two, I've had a couple of friends say that it's pretty fun.
It's mad expensive, though. I know that.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll ever do it myself. Yeah. Unless someone else was footing the bill. But we see here, obviously, you know, MasterChef is holding it down. Right. And so I just really wanted to point that out initially because I was like, yo, I think this is the Malibu situation. But anyway, it looked dope. I thought it looked cool.
That's one of the things about this show in particular. I feel like we know a lot of the destinations because we live so close to all of them.
Correct.
Like anytime they have little outings, I'm like,
ooh,
y'all really didn't want to spend any money getting too far out of LA.
Exactly.
I want to ask. If you or I, would you ever want to get married on a reality show?
Go ahead.
Hell no. It's so cheesy. Like the whole time I'm sitting there going, first of all, he's crying over Gordon Ramsay. Talk about not liking tears. I mean,
well, he wasn't crying over Gordon. He was crying over his dad, right?
And he's only the one male figure in his life.
Exactly. The only other male figure in his life is Gordon
Ramsay.
That part,
but it was whatever.
Plus side, they totally got that wedding for free.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Oh, which is why you do it. And why I think is the pretty much the defining reason why most people do it is because it's for free. Whether it's something you get married.
To get married?
No, I'm saying get married on a reality show.
Yeah.
Not get married. Hopefully not. But to get married on a reality show, I think it's because they're footing the bill. And it's just not even like marriages like this that was on an actual show, when people have wedding specials and they get married on a certain network. Like, I remember when Kim Kardashian did it, right?
Our very own Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos got married on TV.
Yeah, but I also think it's one thing maybe to get married on a reality show, but would I get married on a reality cooking competition show?
That is the difference, right? That is the difference.
Where it's like, it's already a pressured enough day for anybody that's cooking for you, but then you throw the fact that, oh no, somebody can get eliminated, right, lose a chance at $250,000.
Right, during my nuptials.
Yes.
Right.
Do I want that?
Screaming, right. Yeah, I personally, I don't know that I would on a cooking show, when you say it like that, for sure. But, you know, it was for him, I think the reason why it would make sense for him is because he was the winner of MasterChef.
Right.
So it kind of ties into this kind of, you know, brought up his career. And so it ties in and it's free. And you know what I'm saying? I'm saying I wouldn't do it, but I mean, more power to him. I mean, you know, you've seen Hell's Kitchen. We've had some stuff on there. You're just like, really? That's what you're going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do wonder how it works out. Does he, Sean, gets engaged and does he let the producers, like, you know, hey, if you're ever doing a wedding thing.
I was thinking about that. I was like, how does that even tie together?
Yeah.
If you happen to be, I'm just saying, I'm available.
Yeah.
We will be willing to do it on your show. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they, you know, they, through social media and things, I feel like they keep in contact with people that are on former contestants, because we see him pop up from time to time.
And he's a former winner.
Like, exactly. And I feel like they, you know, find out he's married. Oh, okay. Hey, we're doing this special. Would you like to? And that kind of goes from there.
Mm. And then you got to get Gordon involved.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end. Got to get the man.
But didn't it look like there's that one shot of him where he's in his suit and he's running?
Yeah.
Like, yes. He is so late to everything. Yeah. And then you get the guy up there who's crying. Gordon's not even around.
Right. And then he just pops up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm ready, guys. I'm here. It's Gordon.
Yeah.
I totally feel like they just reshot some of that. Right? That couldn't be their actual wedding. Because they had all those people, either for sure bride and groom were mic'd, and then maybe they're running around with a boom getting those interviews with the people at the table. But I'm like, that's a lot of interaction with the...
That is. I think, too, if you decide you're going to do that, I mean, you've prepared for that. You know, you've told your guest, hey, it's going to be shot. Hey, if you're going to come, you're going to be on TV.
The wedding invitation comes with an NDA.
That would be funny. I mean, but come on, guys. We've seen this a lot in reality, especially now, because reality television, pretty much every network on TV has a reality show on it. So there's all kind of stuff that happens on reality shows. I've seen, you know, I mean, it happens. They have funerals on reality shows. And you're just like, this is a funeral. Why would you have this as part of your show? But it happens. So I've seen Stranger.
True.
I'll say it like that. I've seen Stranger.
I do feel I need to do a deep dive on Sean's, like, Instagram and Twitter, just to see, like, how close he and Gordon really are in real life. Because the way he built it up was like, the only other man in my life.
I think that was definitely for the show. Like, no, I'm for sure. I just can't see why. Because, I mean, and not to say, like, he can't be close to someone like Gordon. Like, Gordon is, you know, untouchable. But that guy's a busy man. You know, he has all these shows that he is part of and produces. And so for him to be one of the winners of MasterChef and then take on that type of situation where he is almost like a father figure. I mean, I could see maybe he reached out to him, like, when he lost his dad, and maybe, you know, he found out and maybe give him a call. But I can't see him being like that. But, you know, it worked for the show.
Well, I mean, you know, Gordon Ramsay, he produces a lot of shows.
He does.
But you know what? AfterBuzz does as well.
Me too.
You know, we cover nearly all your favorite TV shows, from reality, drama, TV, sci-fi, more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more, Ashley, or more.
Or more. There are
many.
YouTube
channels, yes. You know, by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't worry. They are optional. So hit the subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments. And you know what? Lem Gonzalez is going to give you a personal shout out on the air. There you go. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Absolutely.
ESPN of TV Talk.
ESPN of TV Talk. Yes, it's right there. So getting back to this episode, what do you guys think overall for the episode? What do you guys think, you know, how it played out and everything? I mean, we've seen that type of when they're cooking for someone and it's crazy. They got two teams going on. What do you think overall?
I don't know if I like, especially at the end where we get the trust, the twist where we don't have the pressure test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's always nice to see somebody break the format of the show, but I also understand, like, that is an unusual situation that you're thrust into. I mean, the whole competition is an unusual situation, but
sure.
It's always been kind of the standard that you get one major test, and then you at least get a chance to kind of hopefully redeem yourself in the pressure test if you just completely blow it. So to take that element of trying to at least redeem yourself out of it, I'm still not sure how I feel.
You know, as you were saying that just now, I was sitting there kind of calculating in my head going, how much does each segment cost to produce? And I wonder if they had to eat a lot of the budget because of that wedding. So I wonder if their budget for that show, if they literally were just like, no specials, no pressure cooker segment for this one because we had to like carry this wedding.
Right.
So they might not have had the budget to do another special segment for that episode from a production standpoint, just thinking it out. But to your point, I totally felt that this whole episode was like really kind of just lukewarm in terms of like engage. It wasn't very engaging. There wasn't a lot happening. Even the meal itself, they only made an appetizer and a main. There was no like dessert situation happening. You know, so I felt like it was missing an element for sure as well.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting too to see, like, first of all, you know, we see this on Gordon's other show, Hell's Kitchen, right? And we've seen like weddings happen on Hell's Kitchen and wedding receptions. I mean, we've seen the whole gamut there. And so I've seen, remember in previous seasons where the bride and groom were like, oh, we would like this, you know, or we would like this, or we need you to make this, and this is my family, da 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 da. So in this case, he gave, you know, just the, you know, of course, the entree and the appetizer, and said, you know, that was duck, wanted duck as the protein for that. And then for the appetizer, it was supposed to be, they were choosing
the scallops.
Thank you. So they could work whatever they wanted to work within those two, but those are the two proteins they had to make. And I feel like those proteins, we are dealing with home cooks at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Which is why I think they probably didn't have to do a dessert, because I think that would have been a disaster. And so why they gave them, I mean, the duck, from what I understand, is a hard protein to cook.
It is. And so are scallops, to be honest.
Exactly. Which is why I think they were the ones that were chosen. I don't think it was because, like, really have an affinity for scallops. Like, I don't think it's what it was. It was like, you know, scallops are the mainstay on Hell's Kitchen, right? And I think duck is just hard. And it was something that also can be done, you know, in big quantities as well.
But there wasn't big quantities. It's like, if you're a wedding patron, you're going home hungry. There was, like, just little, like, samples of food. There wasn't.
Oh, you mean, like, well, they had to make it. Each person got two plates, though. No, they did not.
No, there was red tables,
that's
blue tables.
That's right. You're right.
Like, if anybody's drinking there, look out. Yeah. It's gonna be a fun party.
Well, they did. Didn't they have? No, they didn't. I was going to say, they have no crackers or nothing in the middle.
Crackers. Come to our TV wedding. Have some crackers. And a little bite of duck while they were waiting.
Okay. Well, it is TV at the end of the day.
Although, Sean, from his season, lives in Vegas, and I felt like his tastes are always a little bit more elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So it would not surprise me that he would want to have something a little more different, like duck and scallops, but also as a way to say, like, yeah, I'm going to make it hard on you guys,
right,
too.
Right, right.
But again, another reason I wouldn't want to get it, like, why am I doing that? Why would I make the difficulty of having my guests have an enjoyable meal that much harder?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. I mean, but again, if we really want to be honest, from a production standpoint, I'm sure that because they're doing this wedding for him for free in this space with all these guests being fed, I'm sure that production had a lot to say, you know, as far as we need this to do this and this.
They're probably watching over.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
They're cooking more.
And I'm sure that they probably, you know, had a hand in the proteins that were chosen as well. So
yeah, but I guess the other safety net is that Gordon Ramsay and Aaron Sanchez, Joe Bastianich, proud men with great reputation, so they're not going to let the service be a total bust.
Sure,
right.
Absolutely. So I guess that's your safety net.
There you go.
Situation.
Which we did see happen in the episode when people had raw stuff, and Joe just, you know what? Let's go get this done. And I thought that was super messed up.
Yeah.
Because they're literally like, oh, service is done. They're throwing away mushrooms. They're cleaning. You see busting suds. And all of a sudden he comes back with four plates like, yo, we need to refire these right now. They're like, yo, we have no mushrooms. My hands. One was sleep. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not trying to be cooking anymore.
And he was not even, the way he threw those plates down. He was just like, he gave zero Fs. Like,
yeah.
We had to fire these up now.
Fire these up right now.
Yeah. But you know what? I didn't. Did I miss it? Was I getting a snack? I didn't see them resolve the dishes.
No, they did. They made them. They remade them. They had to but they had to go from scratch because all the stuff that they had prepped, well, not all of it, but like the mushrooms, for instance, they were all done.
So but they had extra raw mushrooms.
Well, yeah, they had to just they had to redo them, but they didn't have any cooked ones that they could just
thought somebody
put
got
in
some
there.
Garbage mushrooms.
Exactly. No. That would have been crazy. What? No, they had to refire, and then the mushrooms ended up coming late because they had to recook them. Mm. So they brought the the duck by itself, and then brought like mushrooms family style because they were coming later. So, but you know, I mean,
that just sucks.
It sucks all the way around. I think it was interesting too. With how they're doing the teams, right? We see this as different because typically, you know, it is, you know, the top people are the team captains. And so you feel like, okay, if they're the top, not to say they have good leadership skills just because they can cook, but you think they should do a fairly good job. In this particular thing, there was like episode, I was like, we think you just need to do it. So there you go, Joni and, or Juni and Julia. And I felt like, that's pretty not messed up because you're in a competition, so you got to perform in the competition. But it wasn't like they asked to be, you know, leadership. They didn't raise their hand. They weren't at the top. Like it was just no rhyme or reason. It didn't seem as to why they would be chosen.
Well, it seemed like the way they set it up is that you're people from that we haven't seen much out of yet. I mean, we want to see what you can do. So I guess that's the danger of kind of falling in the middle of the pack. Kind of
there
show
you
like
go.
This.
Sure, you get called out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's probably exactly what they were trying to do. But I'm always like, these people are never trying to run a kitchen. So is that really the right challenge for a home chef to, like, put them in a leadership position? Because, I mean, if they're just at home cooking, like, what kitchen are they running, right? I mean, isn't just the goal to get them to publish a cookbook?
Yeah.
Typically.
Well, and even, like, Sean says, like, as he's giving his resume about what he's done since winning MasterChef, it's like cooking at a lot of food festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually just yourself preparing meals for small little plates for everybody else. So it's not like you're working in a kitchen environment either.
Absolutely. And I think it just bodes as to this being a competition and there has to be drama and there has to be different elements that makes, you know, it's just kind of like going, I think I might have mentioned this before, but kind of like American Idol. American Idol, at its peak, you would have, you know, the contestant sings different genres of music, even though they're going to produce if they win, they're going to do one style of music, you know, and they may be a country artist, but they got to do different genres of music as to get to that point. And then, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're not going to do hip-hop, but they have to do a hip-hop song or whatever in their own way to get to the next level. And it's like, you're not going to have that on your album. You know what I'm saying? But you got to do it. If you don't do it right, you're going to suck and go home. So, I mean, I feel it's kind of the same format or, you know, idea. Juni, man, this dude, I'm just trying to figure out what he was thinking. His menu, he wanted scallops with farro. And he's a vegetarian, by the way, so I don't know if that, like, you know, had a play into it, but he wanted scallops with farro and orange zest mashed potatoes.
I can't even unpack that. It's so much to unpack. Like, where did the farro come from? Was that, like, listed as an option for him?
Well, I mean, they had it there, but they had it there. But I'm just like, where does that even, I haven't even had farro.
Oh,
I mean, it's, you know, what
it's
is
grain.
It?
It's
I know it's a grain.
Like rice. It's kind of like a brown rice. Like it's like a chewy kind of.
Is it good?
Bigger brown rice. It's like brown rice. It's just like a very hearty,
like
almost
earthy,
chewy.
Like an earthy taste to it? Like
a bit. Yeah. And I think maybe for a vegetarian, he would be thinking of that as like a filling thing.
Okay.
So I could see maybe.
That
could be his mentality.
Gotcha.
Because it's like kind of a hard. I think even Chef Ramsay said it's like a hearty winter, you know, grain.
He did mention about, it's summertime or whatever. Why are you wanting to pick this grain? I mean, it just didn't make sense. But the orange zest mashed potatoes, though, like, come on now.
That
has nothing to do with being a vegetarian.
But admit.
Admit what?
Admit it.
That sounds disgusting.
You would never.
Yes.
Hey, there it is. Yay. Shout out to engineer Steven.
Oh, my God. It's from Dirty Dancing. Why didn't I
know? Is it from Dirty Dancing?
I got it now. Yeah.
What is the name of the song, Steven?
The Count.
Do you love me?
Do you love. Oh, yes, everybody. I hope you're feeling it.
You would never make those. You're on your own. You would never go somewhere to pay for that. But if somebody gave you a free serving of that, you would at least try it.
No,
absolutely.
I would not. No,
yeah.
I would not.
Yes,
because you would at least try it.
Okay, I tell you what. I would try it if it was something that people ate. I've never. Do you see what I'm saying?
People like, eat potatoes and oranges.
No, not together. Not where have you seen that on a menu?
No, you haven't seen it on a menu. But
where have you seen that at home? Where have you seen that ever?
But maybe he's inventing. Maybe he is like creating something that's going to blow our freaking minds. Like the first person that was like, "Let's put some garlic in mashed potatoes or whatever." You know,
let me tell you something.
This could be a game changer.
But the fact that Chef Ramsay was like, "Excuse me," because he's obviously a chef, so he's seen it all. Yeah. Right?
Maybe he's like, excuse me, and then he's at home going like, must look into orange mashed potatoes.
His face when he said orange zest mashed potatoes was like, bruh. Because you figure it's not like blood orange mashed potatoes, right? It's orange zest. So that's the rind of the orange.
It's where the
you're taking that's normally in like sweet dishes or desserts, and you're taking that and putting it in mashed potatoes.
But we put mashed potatoes absorbs the flavor of whatever you put in it.
And I don't want orange mashed potatoes. That's what I'm saying. And I don't think anybody else is. Which is why they changed it.
Think about other things that you put citrus on. I'm not gonna let this go because
why?
I believe that I thought it was a weird choice, especially with the whole situation that was going on there, but I would 100% try it and I think he could be an innovator. Think about citrus that you've put on stuff that you're like, citrus? Why is there citrus on my chocolate cake, for example?
That's a dessert, which would make sense.
Why is there citrus on my chicken? Lemon chicken. So, eat some lemon chicken. What about orange chicken? What's the difference here? Where's the line draw? People back me up, please, in the chat.
No, no one is backing you up.
Somebody get on board here with some citrus potatoes.
That even sounds crazy.
What about lemon potatoes? I would eat the crap out of some lemon potatoes.
Lemon potatoes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Lemon is also vastly different than orange, just so you know. Lemon is sour, so it bodes well with
orange juice with potatoes. It's orange zest potatoes.
Okay, the fact that it never happened is an indicator that it was terrible.
I'm going to go home and make some
it would have been terrible. You do that. That's going to be our special segment next week.
Dang it.
Yes.
All right.
Ashley's making some orange zest potatoes.
Challenge accepted.
She's going to... She's going to bring it in. She's going to bring it in. We're going to all taste it.
Oh, dang it.
And then we're going to be the judge to see.
To
yes, you did. If this is something that should go on a menu somewhere in the country.
That's not what they say. They don't make them go on menus.
Where else is it going to be at? It would be on a menu somewhere.
In a cookbook.
Okay.
Cookbook. I'm going to look it up.
Cookbook. Whatever. Anyway.
But do you think Junie, though, was he penalized? Because they pick their teams, then they swap them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was getting to the point where, number one, they didn't ask to be captains. And then number two, they get to pick their teams that they feel like they would work well with. And then all of a sudden, they get switched. So that's definitely, you know, a problem. And that was, you know, obviously a huge, huge curveball. But I will say, Junie's menu, I feel like, was, number one, his demise. Because what he was doing, because trying to do that, you lose the confidence of your team, right? Because they're like, dude, this is not going to work. And they're constantly questioning you and then you're like, well, okay, all right. You know, it wasn't like he said, it would have been different if he said orange zest mashed potatoes and everybody's like, what? He's like, no.
Trust.
I've had them.
Yeah.
I've made them. They're a hit at my family barbecue or whatever.
Yeah.
He had nothing to back it up. Nothing
That's
at all.
That's very true.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like, mashed potatoes, orange zest. That's what I'm talking. Like, there was nothing to back up, which is, again, why Jeff Rams was like, what are you talking about? And it ended up getting chucked. So I feel like that was his indicator. And he was a terrible leader. Because if he had any good leadership skills, no matter the team that he had, because, you know, she had the switch too. You know, Julia did.
Mm-hmm.
But she still excelled. You know, she didn't have the same issues.
And I have to admit, if you show sign of weakness or floundering with Shanika,
yes.
she will eat you alive.
Shanika. But you know what? I will say, I mean, we've seen her to be like the extra one, you know, so far this season. The one that kind of just, you know, starts up the drama. But I felt like she was in her right place this episode. Everything that she was saying, everything she was, and it wasn't like she was trying to overthrow him. She was just like, dude, I think this is a better idea. Let's do the fingerling potatoes because we do it like this and that. It's elegant, right?
Yeah.
We're at a wedding. You want to do this crap mashed potato mixture. Let's make it elegant. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then he's just like, ah, but it's already working. And then she's like, okay, she still was going to go with it until Gordon came over and was like, what did you say? Oh, yeah, nah, 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 son. That's not going to happen right now.
She played fair. She did.
And she did.
What was that octagonal thing that they were doing with the...
The fondant?
What is a fondant? I know fondant to be baking.
Yeah,
like a, kind of, a baking cake thing. What is a potato fondant?
I think it's like just, it's almost like...
Like, say, a little volcano?
You know, like a volcano. Imagine like a tater tot, but, or just like potato chunks, but they're carved really nicely. And they're cooked.
Oh.
So, and they're soft, but they're got a little bit of a crisp around the outside.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing. Tell me if I'm wrong.
That's another, we have more homework for you, audience, if you can let us know what a potato fondant.
Well, a potato is a root vegetable that grows up.
Thank you.
You know what?
Marie Provenzano, where are you right now?
Yeah, she would exactly know what that is.
But, you know, when they said he was going to do garlic mash, I love garlic mashed potatoes.
I would eat
garlic
that.
Garlic mashed potatoes is cracking.
Would you think that you're getting like, this is kind of inelegant at a wedding?
First of all, did you see the people that were there? I'm just going to say that. I saw a bunch of bolo ties and some boots and unkempt hair. Yeah. So I don't think they would have had a problem with anything. As long as it tasted good. If you had some ribs with some corn on the cob, I think they would have been fine as long as it tasted good.
Yeah. I think you can plate mashed potatoes nicely. Like, there's, I've seen beautiful, like, yeah, steaks on mashed potatoes.
And I've seen mashed potatoes at like steakhouses and other elegant upscale restaurants. I could see why, but the potato thing, fondant, fingerling, what is it?
Fondant.
Am I saying it? Yeah. That was an easier fix, and it looked better. And I think that was kind of what was on that.
I've never seen, because his plan was to do it, the mashed potatoes, in a piping bag.
Right. Yes. To make it elegant.
I've never seen that, where somebody's piped mashed potatoes.
And I feel like it would look like something else if you pipe that on the plate. All I'm saying.
Big pile of piping.
Exactly. So I think that was a terrible idea as well. We do see Gordon Ramsay officiate the wedding. That's where we were talking about earlier, where he
came in and just said a couple words at the end, kind of.
But he pronounced them husband and wife.
Is he even ordained?
Well, I don't know. He could be. I mean, it's very easy to get done.
Because it looked like they had a guy up there with a big gray beard. I think he did the heavy work. And then Gordon comes in at the end and just said, I got it.
That very well could be true. That very well could be true. I'm just going to say he officiated the wedding. And I mean, I think that's kind of dope if Gordon Ramsay officiates your wedding. Just saying.
He's no Lem Gonzalez.
So. No, he's not. Yeah.
Available for officiating. Get
all day,
at
every day.
All day, every day. Saint. Exactly. Look me up. StayOnTheMic.com.
So you can hook you up.
There it is.
Oh.
Actually, speaking of side notes, I have my first wedding officiating happening from my website next month.
Oh, that's well, awesome. Congratulations.
Boom!
What can you know tell we're doing us about streets. The happy couple and what are they eating?
I don't
suggest
know.
Orange zest potatoes.
I'm going to tell them, like, yo.
I know this chef.
You know?
She's a home cook, but damn.
She's about to make some cracking orange. It's going down. The orange zest mashed potatoes.
Wait till that's like what puts me on the map and then all of your
If that does, I would be eating a lot of humble pie. I don't think so. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think so. Let's go into how he officiates the wedding. We see that Junie's team is sucking. They get rid of the puree because that was another thing that was not working. They end up going with the pickled carrot. Red team is sucking. So they did have challenges on both. It wasn't just Junie's team. We did see a lot of issues with Junie, though. And I think it was more him personally. How did you feel about when he just basically got axed and then we see my girl, Taylor, step up?
Oh,
yes,
Taylor.
My favorite as the captain. What did you think about that? Do you think that was right?
I mean, I think honestly, credit to Junie, he took it like a champ. Like, he didn't, that probably would have flustered me a little bit. But he really took it pretty well and, like, continued to work for the rest of the team. So kudos to him there. Was I surprised? Not even a little. But I was like, damn, Taylor jumped right on the opportunity to sub in quick.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
No, okay. It's... I feel like Juni, I mean, he had already been fading back into the background throughout the course of the episode. He had to have known that, like, yeah, I'm not cut out for this. All right, take it away from me. But I also have to think, at that moment, you have to know that unless we win, I'm going home. Because there's no way that you're going to boot the captain and think that they're going to keep me around for another week.
For sure.
So, I for as much as Shanika would kind of throw her nose in with everything, I was surprised. And maybe just in the editing, we didn't see it, but that she didn't throw her hat in the ring as well. It seemed like just Taylor said, I'll do it. And everybody said, okay, fine.
But Shanika was kind of team Taylor. She was like saying like, yes, yeah. Thank God Taylor was suggesting blah, blah, blah. And then she was looking at Taylor being like, yes, you know, they seem to have formed a nice little bond on that in that challenge.
And I feel like it's the easiest thing. Like if you are in Taylor's position, as long as you don't, if you don't do worse than Juni, as long as you do anything better, you are going to be
safe.
You
look like a star. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Absolutely. Guys, I got some news and gossip.
Oh,
so check this out.
Lem and Taylor are exclusive.
She said yes.
Yeah, right. No, that's not the news and gossip. But we were talking about a little bit earlier about Gordon Ramsay and all his endeavors. So he has a new show on Fox. Yes. And
another
it is
one.
Called Another One. Another one in my DJ Khaled voice. 24 Hours to Hell and Back is new show. Okay, so you know about that show.
I have so many questions about how that show's
Yeah. But I just caught it yesterday because, you know, I watched it after MasterChef. It comes on right after. And I was like, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was the last episode. You know, they were down south, you know, restaurant in Mississippi. They ended up firing the head chef. He had been there for like a long time.
What's the premise like 30 something years. This show?
So this show is kind of like, I want to say it's kind of like Hotel Hell, where he renovates, you know, these fixtures or these hotels and brings them up to where they need to be. In this case, it's restaurants.
Okay.
And they're crappy restaurants being run terribly. You know, the decor is terrible, whatever. It's just not doing well as a restaurant. And so he basically goes in. And basically renovates everything in 24 hours. I mean, does like a little thing. He has a mobile like kitchen. So he has the chefs from the restaurant or the cooks get training on doing new dishes.
Wow.
They bring in local construction workers. They redo the floors, like everything, whatever needs to be done. I mean, everything. They just do a revamp in 24 hours and then they reopen and then, yeah. And so
bits of business that are silly about the show is that I guess because Gordon is so well known now that when he goes to try out the food initially, he puts on this elaborate disguise, which is always ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. This one, he actually looked good. Like, it was believable. He had, he looked like a farmer. Like, he had a trucker hat and he had this huge beard and he just kept the hat, like, really low. And he didn't really talk, obviously, because he's got that, you know, Scottish accent. So, but he kept it really low. And he went in with some other farmers. And so he's eating the food. And he's like, this is terrible. You know, the whole time he's like whispering to them. And then, you know, it was funny. But yeah, he would. And then the funny thing is, the cheesy part is, he gets up off the table and then goes to the bathroom and changes into Gordon. And then like walks in the kitchen. Like just, hey guys, what's going on? Da, 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 da. And they're like, what? It's Gordon. Da, da, da. You know, so it's a cool show.
I didn't know it was going to be Gordon Ramsay when I signed all the paperwork before we started shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got people helping him take the makeup off. So are they just, did they get there early and just hide out in the stall?
I don't know. But he lit, and then he took all the stuff and he left it in the bathroom. That was funny too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It was
That's awesome.
I enjoyed the show.
Okay.
I enjoyed the show. So I'll just say that. But yeah, if you're into any of Hell's Kitchen or MasterChef or any other Chef Ramsay shows, I think you'll like this one.
So it's like 2 hours of straight Gordon Ramsay programming on Fox.
There you go.
Basically.
All right.
He's taking over. He's doing his Thuck Thizzle.
He's taking over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's get back real quick into this episode before we get into predictions real quick. We see that the twist that we were mentioning earlier is that, of course, you know, Juni's team loses, was not a surprise at all. They lose. So we know that typically when they go back to the kitchen, there is a pressure test, and sometimes he saves some people. So it's not everyone that typically does it, but whoever does it, whoever gets the bottom, they go home. In this particular case, I love how they kind of faked him out. That was kind of messed up.
Yeah.
Because they're like, yeah, so, you know, we're going to, Shanika and Taylor, we're going to, you know, save you because you guys did really good. So I'm like, okay, you know. And then you people and start naming off people. And so you are all safe. Down to the last two. Actually, you know what? There's no test today. So we're just gonna let one of you go home right now, and it's gonna be you, Junie. So, and that's it.
I think
based on what we saw in the episode, he deserved to go home. It was terrible, from the menu placement, he wasn't a good leader. Obviously, it doesn't indicate how well he's as a cook or a chef, but for the sake of the show, he was the worst of that particular day.
No, I do agree with that. And I realized as I was watching the episode and it gets up into the 50s for that, you're like, all right, either this is going to be a to be continued.
Right, right.
Or it's dropping, they're dropping the hammer now.
And that's what I saw because I was watching. I was like, wait a second. It's like the hour's almost up. And I'm like, how are they going to have time? I thought the same thing. And they went and just canned them. And I was like, too bad. Yeah, let's go straight into predictions. Let's do that.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so we still have 17 chefs left, guys. Mm-hmm. So we still got a ways to go. Based on what we saw this particular episode, did anyone stand out to you as like a front runner or anything like that?
Frank. Go ahead, Ashley.
Okay. damn it. Her name is blanking, and she's been, I keep saying her every week, and I've still got my eye on her. Blonde. Help me out here, folks.
Oh, the one that's great with the desserts.
No.
That one?
No, she's great. She's like from, in the first episode, she like was making her own cheese stuff. Not cheese. Blonde girl from like Wisconsin, middle of America.
Got it. Okay.
Like kind
what
of
was her, what's her, oh, tech.
I feel like I want to call her Beth, and if that's wrong, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm not sounding like a super fan right now.
Right.
But she, I still have my eye on her. So she's still my.
Okay.
Unnamed front runner, and you know Taylor did great this episode, and I think she'll be around for a while along with Shanika.
Okay,
what am I predicting exactly?
Who you think is a front runner?
Who's a front runner? Yes. Yeah, all those people.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, for Taylor, it's somebody like she's wanted it so bad for. I mean, it's her third year trying, and she finally gets on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that she will go far, but she will not make it to the finale.
Mm.
I feel like.
Wait, which one?
Taylor.
Saying? Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like she can go far, but she won't make it.
Interesting. It's just,
why don't you think she'll make it?
I feel like maybe, I don't know, I just have a feeling that somebody who wants it so bad that the pressure is going to get to her at some point,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to fold a little bit just before the finale.
All right.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I actually was very surprised by Shanika. I felt like she was just a troublemaker, you know, thought she was too good for school or too cool for school. So, but showing her what she did today, not only did she have good ideas for the person that was leading her team, but she still complied with their demands or what they were being asked of. So that kind of put her high on my radar as far as someone that could really do well. I think that if she gets a chance to lead a team, I think that she will do well. And I think people will listen to her because she's not a crap cook. Like she has not been on the bottom that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be interesting to see how it develops and, you know, keeps going. But I feel like her and, you know, my favorite's been Taylor since day one. So it'll be interesting to see.
For her cooking. Like,
yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how she does going forward. I mean, she had good ideas. But to step up in the midst of a situation like that, that shows a lot. Because I didn't think that I didn't picture her for doing something like that. I thought she would be more reserved and be like, if she was asked to do it, would do it. But as far as somebody like, yo, I'll take over, I got this, and be confident with it, I didn't expect that. So that was very unexpected for me.
Now, tell me this real quick, Lem, as we wrap up. You bump into Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. You have a little meet cute. And she says, hey, you know, Lem, come on over to my place. Boom. You get over there. She serves you orange zest potatoes.
Oh, yes!
Do you eat them?
Yes, or do you say, do.
No thanks, Taylor. I gotta go.
Tune in next week to find out.
Exactly.
Ah!
Exactly. No, I mean the whole pot. That's all I said. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's been our show. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, everyone. Sorry we didn't get to everyone in the live chat, but we appreciate you being there. Make sure for the comments, we got some homework for you. Well, we found out the song.
Yes.
But we want to know if you would try Orange Zest Potatoes. That's the question, because that was kind of the theme of this episode, yeah. Right? So correct. Would you try Orange Zest mashed potatoes? Have you tried them? Are they good? That's what we want to know. That's what we want to find out. But I've been your host, Lim Gonzalez. And as always, you can find me everywhere at The Poet Saint. That's at The Poet Saint all day, every day. And check out my website, stayonthemic.com. Where are you at, Mr. Frank Moran?
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. I would put orange zest in most everything I eat. So I'll show you all that great stuff. Cereal, it's great. Orange zest, yum. Cereal,
yum.
Pudding.
If you guys want to try some orange zest mashed potatoes for real, get at us in the comments and we'll give you the address to the studio, because I'm bringing them next week.
Yeah!
And you
yeah!
Here.
It's going down.
And if you want to talk to me on social before then, find me at Ashley on Camera and let's talk about what you're eating and what you're watching on Netflix there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until then, we'll see you next week. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.